Somalia Alcohol, The Dangerous Life of a Smuggler, date modified colon 2024-10-21T00:00:07.627Z, description colon despite the dangers, the transporters of the illicit brew see it as a way out of poverty, Risking death to smuggle alcohol past Somali bandits and Islamist fighters, Mohammed Gabbi, alcohol smuggler Gould Diri is exhausted. He has just returned from his trip transporting contraband from the Ethiopian border. The 29-year-old slumps in his chair inside a colonial-style villa battered by years of fighting in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, a city once known as the Pearl of the Indian Ocean. His sandals are covered in a potent orange dust, the residue from the desert. Mr. Diri's dark eyes droop. The bags underneath speak of sleepless nights, the hours of tension traversing the dangerous roads and negotiating checkpoints with armed men. There is also the haunting memory of a fellow smuggler who was shot dead. In this country, everyone is struggling and looking for a way out. And I found my way by making regular trips by road from the Ethiopian border to Mogadishu, he says, explaining that smuggling was a means to support his family in a tough economic climate. The use and distribution of alcohol is illegal. Somalia's laws must comply with Sharia, Islamic law, which forbids alcohol, but it has not stopped a growing demand, particularly among young people in many parts of the country. Mr. Diri's neighbor Abshur, knowing he had fallen on hard times as a minibus taxi driver, introduced him to the precarious world of alcohol smuggling. Rickshaws began to take over the city, pushing minibus drivers out of business. Both were childhood friends who had sheltered together in the same camp in 2009 during the height of the insurgency in Mogadishu. He was someone he could trust. I began picking up boxes of alcohol at designated drop points in Mogadishu on his behalf and maneuvering through the city and offloading them at designated locations. I didn't realize it at first, but this was my introduction into smuggling. His involvement snowballed and Mr. Diri soon found himself navigating from the porous frontier with Ethiopia through Somalia's rural hinterlands. He understands that he is breaking the law, but says the poverty that he finds himself in overrides that. Somalia police, the police sometimes display bottles of the smuggled alcohol they have seized. The smuggling journey begins in Somali border towns such as Abudwak, Balan Bail, Firfir, and Galdogob. Alcohol mostly originates in Ethiopia's capital Addis Ababa and makes it to the city of Jigjiga, in the Ogaden region, Mr. Diri says. The Ogaden, or, as it is officially known in Ethiopia, the Somali region, shares a 1,600 kilometers, 990-mile, border with Somalia. People on both sides share ethnic, cultural, linguistic, and religious ties. Once the alcohol is loaded, it is moved across the plains of the Somali region, and then smuggled across the border into Somalia. The border town of Galdogob is a major hub for trade and travel and has been hit hard by the flow of alcohol being smuggled from Ethiopia. Tribal elders have raised concerns over alcohol-related violence. Alcohol causes so many evils such as shootings, says Sheikh Abdallah Mohammed Ali, the chairman of the local tribal council in the town. It has been seized and destroyed on multiple occasions, but it's like living next to a factory. It keeps putting out more and more, no matter what we do. Our town will always be in the midst of danger. But for the smugglers, the goal is to get the alcohol to the capital. I drive a truck that transports vegetables, potatoes, and other food products. When the truck is loaded up, it's filled with whatever I'm transporting, but I make the most money from the alcohol on board, Mr. Diri says. Sometimes smugglers cross into Ethiopia to pick it up, and at other times they receive it at the border. But whichever approach is taken, concealment is a crucial part of the profession as the risks from being caught are immense. The loader's job is the most important. Even more important than driving. He is tasked with concealing the alcohol in our truck, with whatever we have on board. Without him, I wouldn't be able to move around so easily, at least not without getting caught. The average box of alcohol I move has 12 bottles. I usually transport anywhere from 50 to 70 boxes per trip. Usually half the load on my truck is filled with alcohol. Large swathes of south-central Somalia are run by armed groups, where the government has little to no control, militias, bandits, and the Al-Qaeda affiliate Al-Shabaab roam with impunity. You can never travel on your own. It's too risky. Death is always on our minds, Mr. Deary says. But that concern does not get in the way of business, and there is a brutal pragmatism to thinking about the makeup of the team. If I get wounded in an attack on the road, there has to be a backup who can continue the journey. Everyone knows how to drive and knows the roads well. Smugglers drive on dirt tracks and roads that have not been renovated in decades. Landmines and unexploded ordnances left behind from previous conflicts are also an issue. I travel through at least 8 to 10 towns to reach Mogadishu. But we don't count the towns, we count the checkpoints and who mans them, Mr. Deary says. They encounter various clan militias with different allegiances, either lingering in the distance or at roadblocks. In case we get jammed up by a clan militia, if one of us is from the same clan as that militia or even a similar sub-clan, it increases our chances of survival. This is why all three of us are from different clans. Mohammed Gababi, the smugglers know the work is dangerous but see the job as a way out of poverty, he painfully recalls, I've encountered numerous attacks. One of the guys that works with me is relatively new. He replaced my last helper who was killed 2 years ago. Mr. Deary had been driving in suffocating heat for 6 hours, so decided to nap, passing the wheel to his helper. While I was sleeping in the back, I heard a large burst of gunfire that suddenly woke me up. We were surrounded by militiamen. My loader was screaming as he ducked in the passenger seat. The substitute driver was killed. Once the commotion ceased, the loader and Mr. Deary picked up their dead colleague from the front seat and put him in the back of the truck. I've never seen so much blood in my life. I had to wipe it away from the steering wheel and keep on driving. In all my years, nothing prepared me for what I saw that day. As the pair drove off and got a good distance away from the militiamen, they pulled over to the side of the road and laid his body there. We didn't even have a sheet to cover his body, so I took off my long-sleeved buttoned-up shirt and made do with it. It was a difficult decision, but I knew I couldn't keep driving around smuggling alcohol with a dead body in the truck. We had a few government checkpoints up ahead and I couldn't jeopardize my load or my freedom. 2 years later, he says the guilt of leaving the body by the road still haunts him. He left behind a family, and Mr. Deary is unsure they even know the truth surrounding the circumstances of his disappearance and death. The danger that Mr. Deary faces is a recurring reality that many smugglers endure while illicitly ferrying alcohol from Ethiopia to Mogadishu, in order to quench the growing demand. Dair Bar, 41, has a slim build with noticeable scars on his face that appear to tell a story on their own. He has a dark sense of humor and seems hardened by the near decade of smuggling that enables him to bypass the possible consequences of what he does. We face a lot of problems and dangers but still continue to drive despite the risk due to the poor living conditions in Somalia, he says. Mr. Barr has been smuggling alcohol from Ethiopia since 2015 and says lack of opportunity made worse by years of poverty pushed him into the dangerous trade. I used to do security for a hotel in the city center. I was armed with an AK-47 and was tasked with patting people down at the entrance. Long nights in a dangerous job with meager pay did not feel worth it. $100 a month to stand in the way of potential car bombs that might plow through the front entrance sounds crazy now that I think of it. One of the day shift guards then put him in touch with friends from the border region, and I've been traveling these roads ever since. Back in 2015 I was only getting $150 per trip, compared to $350 per trip now, and those days it was far riskier because Al-Shabaab had control over more territory, so you risked more encounters with them. Even the bandits and militias were more dangerous back then. If you had red or brown stained teeth, the militias would assume you chewed cod and smoked cigarettes, meaning you had money, so they would abduct you and hold you for ransom. As drivers we've been through a lot and the danger still exists, Mr. Barr says. If they are caught by Al-Shabaab fighters, then it can be most dangerous since the armed group has a zero-tolerance policy on contraband, especially alcohol. The Islamist insurgents set the vehicle on fire and then detain the smugglers before fining them. Mohammed Gababi, the route to Mogadishu is littered with checkpoints. Other armed men can be more easily bribed with money or liquor. It takes an average of 7 to 9 days to reach Mogadishu from the Ethiopian border. The smugglers then make their way to a prearranged drop-off point. When we arrive, a group of men will show up and unload the regular food products into a separate truck, then leave. Afterwards, once that is done, another individual will arrive, sometimes accompanied by more than one vehicle, and they will take the boxes of alcohol, Mr. Deary says. But it doesn't end there. Once it leaves my possession, it will pass through more hands, eventually ending up with local dealers in the city, who can be reached with a simple phone call. Mr. Deary often thinks about his entry into smuggling, and where his future may lie. My neighbor Abshir, who initially got me into smuggling alcohol, stopped doing it himself 3 years ago. Abshir offered his nephew, an unemployed graduate at the time, a job in smuggling. But he was killed on his third trip in an ambush by bandits. Afterwards, Abshir quit smuggling. He became religious and turned to God. I rarely see him anymore. Despite the dangers, Mr. Deary says it will not deter him. Death is something that is predestined. I can't let fear come in the way of making a living. Sure, sometimes I want to throw the keys on the table and start afresh, but it's not that easy. Temptation is everywhere and so is poverty. All names have been changed in this story. More BBC Stories on Somalia, podcast, The Impact of Secret Drinking in Somali Border Towns, Inside Somalia's Beauty Pageant, Groundbreaking Somali TV Drama Shatters Taboos, Somalia's Hidden World of Sex Work, Why Somalia's Once Banned Boxing Thrives in the Former War Zone, A Quick Guide to Somalia, Getty Images / BBC, go to bbcafrica.com, for more news from the African continent, follow us on Twitter, at BBC Africa, on Facebook at BBC Africa, or on Instagram at BBCAfrica, BBC Africa Podcasts, Africa Daily, Focus on Africa, Smuggling Somalia Africa.